CBSI in the World. I'm John Batchelor with Malcolm Holine, and we welcome Lieutenant Colonel retired Sarit Sahavi, CEO and founder of ALMA, nonprofit independent research unit, to help us understand Saturday, February 19th in Israel, a drone connected to Hezbollah. Sarit, what was the mission of this drone and what does it tell us about Hezbollah's new tactics? Good evening to you.
Good evening. Don't think it's new tactics. I think it's a response. There is an exchange of messages between Hezbollah and Israel that has been going on constantly. Of course, it's an unusual incident, but it is part of a campaign that is going on all the time. What we assess that happened, it may be the case, is that Hezbollah wanted to send a message to Israel, part of this exchange of messages, psychological message, to say we can send drones to film what is happening in Israel. By the way, we don't know exactly, though there were publications of Hezbollah that the drone spent around 40 minutes in the Israeli sky, we are not sure this was the case. It was a very small drone, relatively primitive, which can explain why we failed to intercept it. You know, there is no 100% in this. Sometimes you fail to intercept this. But it was not an attacking drone. It probably didn't have any explosives. And I guess that Hezbollah, as part of this exchange of messages, will publish the video of the drone sometime in the future. The question is why they send a drone in this timing. One of the options, and again, we don't know the exact reason, but one of the options is that afterwards we've seen in the past week few reports of an Israeli campaign between the war operation that was made a few days before the drone was launched against a warehouse of drones of Hezbollah in Lebanon, which is also a very unusual operation that damaged this warehouse and damaged the drones in the warehouse. So maybe this was a response, like to send the message, well, we still have drones. Due to our center, ALMA center assessment, Hezbollah is holding around 2,000 drones that may be used against Israel.
Malcolm?
I know that Ambassador Erdan, Israel's ambassador to the UN, wrote to the Secretary General of the UN about the threat of these Lebanese drone incursions into Israeli territory, and it's a violation, it seems, of UN Resolution 1701. What can be done, either by the UN or Israel, to reduce this threat from Hezbollah?
Wow. Israel is very careful, as you could see, even in this operation that I've mentioned. Of course, nobody in Israel never claims responsibility or anything to that, and we don't know whether it really happened. It's just publications in the media. Israel is really, really careful in any attacks in Lebanon. It is following the strategy of the campaign between the war in Syria. Also, the targets are also drones that are coming from Iran to Syria and from there to be passed to Lebanon, maybe passed to Lebanon. This is something that Israel is doing. When we speak of the UN, well, the only way is to, we have UNIFIL there with 10,000 soldiers, but UNIFIL mandate is only in South Lebanon, which I'm not sure this is where the drones are. So I think maybe the only way, and they're not doing permission anyway over there. So I think that the only way is to put more pressure on the Lebanese. And here I think it's not the UN, it's maybe more the Americans, because the Americans are providing aid to the Lebanese. To put more pressure on the Lebanese to fight Hezbollah arming also outside of South Lebanon.
Malcolm, the last time we spoke of Lebanon at length, it was regarded as a failed state or near to. Has that changed in any fashion with new financing or new arrangements of alliances?
It's a very important question, and especially now. I read that the Tehran Times, an English language publication that every year before New Year's announces the man of the year, and the man of the year is Nasrallah, and they credit him with creating a stabilized Lebanese regime, which is contrary to everything I know and everything that we have seen on the ground. So, Sarit, can you, is Nasrallah deserving of being the man of the year?
the man of the decade, I think, because he succeeded. And, you know, never underestimate your enemy. He succeeded in taking over Lebanon without a civil war, without killing, almost without killing, you know, hundreds of Lebanese. He just created the mechanism that replaced the Lebanese government in many senses, as you could see, for example, with the energy crisis, with the economic crisis. You see them taking over pharmacies and supermarkets and providing the population what the Lebanese government doesn't provide. And that way, taking over and biting more and more civilian systems in the Lebanese country. Stabilized, well, I think it's a compliment. I don't think Lebanon is stable, but definitely a great success for Hezbollah to take over like in a quiet revolution. That I think many people around the world don't see that and think that the resistance to Hezbollah inside Lebanon is strong enough to create a change, which unfortunately this is not the case.
Is it true that Iran has intensified its arms smuggling to Syria and Lebanon with drones and many of the other things that John mentioned, the precision-guided missiles, and that they're using the Ukraine situation as a cover? Syrian army now controls most of southern Syria, but it's coordinating now with the Iranian militias so that Iran is taking advantage of the weakness or the absence of Russia in the same way that it was before to step up their activity.
We don't see that happening yet. There is still presence of the Russians. By the way, this is one of the things we are now doing in Alma Center, to try to map where exactly the Russians are. Just before the war in Ukraine, we knew that there are around 10,000 Russian soldiers in Syria. We are trying to understand what the numbers are as of today. I'm not sure that they are completely different. We did see just before the invasion to Russia, a raise in the Russian activity in Syria, in specific places that traditionally were Iranians or Iranians' proxies, including in southern Syria. So what you said is an option, but we don't see this happening yet. So let's see what will happen. By the way, we do see, and we published that few reports of preparedness of Syrians to go to fight in Russia, and just specific, very specific unit of Russians that were fighting ISIS that were transferred to Ukraine. But I'm not sure this affects the strategic picture in Syria itself. The Syrian government do not control the areas in Syria. It's others that are controlling that, mainly Iran, also Russia in some of the areas. It's not the Syrian government, that's for sure. And I'm not sure the Iranians intensified the arm transfer, but they are continue to do that. And you can know, you know how you know? By the reports of attacks against these shipments, you understand that there are still shipments.
So, Reid, I'm just here at the close. We have just a few seconds. Do you know, is anyone able to confirm, are there Hezbollah fighters in Ukraine now? We have just a few seconds.
No, we can't confirm neither Hezbollah nor Syrians in general. We only know that there are videos of Syrians that are saying we are prepared to go there.
All right.
And we don't know whether they already arrived there.
Sarit Sahavi, Lieutenant Colonel, retired IDF, Malcolm Holine Conference of Presidents, Major American Jewish Organizations. I'm John Bash.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.